Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo! Well, Father, we bless you today. We declare that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, provider. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God who supplies all of our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, we declare today that you have made us the head and not the tail, that you have set us above and not beneath. Thank you today that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion. We're seated today at the right hand of majesty in Christ Jesus. Father, we bless you today and we honor you for your word. Thank you that the entrance of your word gives light. And thank you, Lord, that we're just not those who hear the word only, but we're those who put your word into practice in our everyday lives. And we bless you and thank you for it today. And all the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I am just so excited about being here today. I got like 100 different directions that I want to go today. But praise the Lord. We don't have that much time, so I better stay on task. I don't know if you've ever been stolen from in life. But when I was a boy, about somewhere between 10 and 12 years old, I don't remember exactly how old I was, my parents bought me a bicycle for Christmas. It was a black bicycle, and I mean, that thing was nice. It was the nicest bike in the neighborhood. Huh? Come on, somebody. And it was an important bike to me because I was graduating from little kid to teenage level now. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
Amen. And so now I got a 10-speed. You know, 10-speeds were big back in the day. I am older than what I look because black don't crack. Praise the Lord. But anyhow, I was graduating, and so I was excited about this 10-speed that my mom and dad got me unexpectedly for Christmas. It wasn't something that was on my Christmas list. I didn't have it written down anywhere. Mom and Dad just wanted to bless me with the bike. And so when I saw that bike that Christmas morning, you can only imagine how excited I was to get this 10-speed bicycle that was the sharpest thing in the neighborhood. And of course, you know, it was the wintertime, but I had to take my bicycle out on a ride in the snow. I had to check it out to see how it would do in the snow. And it worked well, praise the Lord. And I enjoyed and I loved that 10-speed bicycle for a few months. And one night, somebody came on our front porch, and this is back in the day when you didn't have to lock stuff up. Anybody remember those days besides me? I mean, we could go on vacation and leave for a week and leave the house open and didn't have to worry about anything being gone, but let me leave that alone this morning. It's almost hard to turn you back now for a few seconds without somebody trying to lift something off of you. But anyhow, my bike went off the porch one night while we were sleeping, and my mom heard it in the distance. She said, I heard it go off the porch, and the first thing that came to my mind was, why didn't you get up and see? But anyway, I got a black mama, and you don't say stuff like that to black mamas. I still got my teeth. Amen. I got one of them mamas that believe in smacking you in the mouth. If I got to go to jail, I just go to jail, but I'm going to take you down before I go. You better understand that. She's like, I'm going to get mine in. But anyhow, my bike was stolen, and that was the first time in my life where something of significance had been stolen from me, something that somebody had blessed me with. Somebody had blessed me beyond measure. Anybody ever been blessed beyond measure? This is one of those blessings that was just beyond measure. We weren't a rich family or anything like that. So for my parents to bless me like that was even stretching their budget. And they were willing to do that. And it got stolen from me. And it did something on the inside of me when it got stolen. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it took something precious from me. And I didn't look at life the same after that was stolen from me. Over in John chapter 10, verse 10, the word of God says, Jesus says this. He says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And sometimes in our lives as believers, things get taken from us. Oh, it's real quiet in the sanctuary this morning. The things get taken from us, and a lot of times God gets the blame for what's been stolen from us. But God is the blesser. God is not the thief. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven. God blesses. God doesn't take away. He's in the blessing business. He's in the blessing business. I'm going to say it again. He's in the blessing business. Amen. Too many believers think God did that to me. No, it wasn't God who did it to you. It wasn't God who stole from you. God is the blesser. It is the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And I want you to get this. Listen to these three levels. Jesus is saying that. He's saying this. He says the enemy, he comes to first steal. Then the next level is he comes to kill. They're not the same thing. And then the final level that he comes is to destroy. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm of the firm persuasion that you just got to stop the devil at the beginning.
Amen. Amen.
So I want to handle him at level one and not wait till it gets to a level three.
That's it. That's good.
What is my aim? What is my goal in life now? To stop the devil at level one. Before he ever comes to steal, I want to be on his case. Woo! I've been stole from, and I don't want to be stolen from again. Hello, somebody. Back in the day, I had a 1962 Plymouth Fury. You know what? If you deal with the devil on level one. Anyhow, and you know, it was one of those where it wasn't an automatic hood, that you automatic lock on the hood, where you could just go on the outside and lift up the hood and go underneath it. And I went on a singing trip with the choir that I was over. And this time I didn't drive. I left my car at my home church. And when I came back home, I got in the car and I went to start the car. And there was nothing. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? And so I threw open the hood, even though I know nothing about what's under the hood. You know, it's just a man thing to do. I'm going to look under the hood. But I was smart enough to know when I lifted up the hood, I noticed that the battery was gone. Somebody had stolen the power out of my car. And that's what the enemy does. He comes to steal the power out of your life. And he comes in ways sometimes that we don't expect. The person who stole my battery went by my grandfather's little pool hall thing that he had there, and he had a battery for sale. And my grandfather didn't know it, but it was one of my cousins that had the battery.
Oh, no.
It's one of my cousins that I gave rides to. Hmm. Yeah, that's what I said. Woo-hoo. No, I said more than that. A joker better not need a ride again. Oh, whoo, Lord have mercy. But he stole from me. It was my family that stole from me. It was somebody that was close that stole from me. It came again. My bike got stolen in the avenue that I didn't think it was going to get stolen. My car battery got stolen by someone that I didn't think would steal it. Again, John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And the enemy looks for avenues to get into our lives. This is light this morning, all right? This is like some of y'all, your wheels kicked in too deep. Amen. But anyway, the avenues and the ways that the enemy comes sometimes to get in are unexpected ways. But over here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, 8 and 9 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Everybody in this world, every believer in the world has afflictions that they go through. Yes. Everybody here has times that the enemy comes and tries to find a way, tries to find an avenue into their life, not to be a blessing, but he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Anytime the enemy comes up, hello, somebody, is not to do you good. And a lot of times he comes in subtle ways, in sneaky ways, hello, and he puts it in a package that we like. Amen. It wouldn't be any use in him coming up at us if it didn't come in a package that we like. You know, eating chocolate is not my favorite thing. I don't really like chocolate. So when you offer me chocolate, I really don't want it. I'm chocolate all by myself. But anyhow. It's not, chocolate is not in the top 10 food groups for me. If I have to eat it, I will. But now, you put something strawberry, you put something lemon. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You put some carrot cake. And oh, hallelujah, you put some coconut pie. Or some, hey, pecan. Hey! you put some of that in front of me, and all of a sudden, I'm coming that way. What you got over here? Brother might be interested in this. And that's the way, come on, somebody, that's the way the enemy baits us. He puts it in a package. He puts it in a form to get our attention in a way to where we start looking at it. What's this about? And when we start looking at it, we get caught up a lot of times with the natural, and we forget that there is a supernatural. Come on. Supernatural thing going on behind it, and we get caught up in the natural, and the next thing you know, we're caught. We're stolen from. And we're asking the question, how did that happen to me? Why did that happen to me? Pastor Scott, why me? Because you wasn't sober. Because you wasn't vigilant. The only way that the enemy can get to us is if we're not sober and we're not vigilant about our watch. Amen. He can't just walk in and take. There has to be an avenue. There has to be a door. There has to be something that we open up in order for him to get in. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Amen. I'm just trying to help you a little bit this morning, and I want you to say this after me this morning, and I want you to say it like you're in a black church this morning. Don't you act white up in here. Well, I want you to say this. Devil, you can't have my stuff.
You can't have my stuff.
Come on, say it again. Devil, you can't have my stuff. God blesses us. God increases us. The word says that the Lord will increase us more and more, us and our children. The blessing of the Lord gets on our house, gets on our lives. Amen. And then the next thing you know, the devil comes in and tries to steal that stuff from us. But we're here to serve notice today. The devil, you can't have my stuff. You can't walk up on my porch and take my stuff. Not without a fight, you can't.
Come on.
Now, if you think you're going to walk up in here and take something without it being a fight, you got another thing going. It's about to go down. Excuse me, but I don't like being stolen from. Amen. And the devil comes to steal our joy. He comes to steal our peace. And you all know that he's working trying to steal our nation.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. But we ain't going quiet. Amen. We're going to make some noise about this thing. Yeah. Devil, you can't have my stuff. You can't have my family. You can't have my joy. You can't have my peace. You can't have my health. You can't have it. Jesus said this. He said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It's time to tread, baby. It's time to tread. Time to tread on some stuff. In other words, Jesus said, keep moving. Stuff going to be thrown at you. There's going to be attacks that come. But don't let it stop you. Keep moving, baby. I gave you power to keep moving. You don't understand. When I first started pastoring. Everybody say, devil, you can't have my stuff. When I first started pastoring, I had a lady come up to me. I got to hurry up. She was so distraught, and she was crying, and she was upset. And she said, Pastor, I need to tell you something. And I said, yes, you know, and I'm just bracing myself for the worst. And she said, I've been through a divorce, and my husband left me, and he got the kids. And she goes on for about 20, 30 minutes telling me her life story. And I mean, she is just boohooing, and I mean the kind of crying that your heart just goes out to the person. You all know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's just like, oh, Lord Jesus, what am I going to say to this woman? I don't know how to help her. What am I supposed to do? And when she started winding down, I said, well, you know, how recent was it that this happened? And she put her head down, counted. And she said, 16 years. It's going to be 17 years. I said, what? You took me through all this over something that happened 16, almost 17 years ago, and you taking me. But it was so real to her, and she hadn't gotten beyond what had been stolen from her. But again, I want you to remind you this morning that Jesus said, I give you power to tread. I give you power to keep moving. And even though you may have been through divorce, even though you may have been through loss, baby, keep moving. Distance yourself from it. Distance yourself from the pain. Distance yourself from the disappointment. Hello, the further you get away from the fire, the less you'll feel the heat. Get away from the fire, baby. You don't know how bad it hurt me. You don't know how bad you're getting ready to get hurt if you keep fooling with me. We're not going to keep reliving this. Move on. And every week she'd come to church, toe up, and she'd be telling everybody her story. And I realized the devil was using her on a mission to steal the joy in the church. And so I had to go to her. I had to. It was my responsibility. I had to go to her and say, don't you mention so-and-so again. Don't you call his name in this church no more. You're not allowed to. And she said, are you serious? I said, yes, I'm serious. I don't want to hear you talk about it again. If you do, you can't come to this church no more. I've never had a pastor talk to me like that before. That's because they've been scared of you. I ain't scared of you. It don't bother me if you don't put no money in the bucket. Amen. I ain't putting up with this craziness. They're crazy. And if any of you doing that, I'm here to tell you today, that's crazy. Stop it. Amen. I don't want him back no more. I'll be back next service. Just crying and bemoaning and living in that hurt of the past, not being able to get beyond the hurt of the past. But again, Jesus said, I give you power. Your power hasn't been removed from your life. The greater one is in you. The power is in you. The anointing is in you. And nobody can lift up your hood and take the power out. I know y'all thinking, how in the world is he going to connect all that? I got it. Nobody can remove the power in your life. For the greater one, Jesus said that he would come and he would abide with us forever. You're not powerless. I just feel powerless. It's only a feeling. Thank you, sister. That is not the truth. Your feelings are lie to you. Again, I come from a background of strong women, strong black women. And is this for me? Thank you. I didn't know y'all was having T.D. Jakes up in here this morning. Doing all this. I forgot where I was going with that foolishness. Strong black women. And, you know, you don't know, but I'm about to tell you, my sister is a supervisor in a plant where there's all women. She was, where it was all women sewing and doing this kind of thing. And she said the ladies would come in and they would be all upset and all tore up. And she would tell them, sit down. And on your way down, put your feelings in your pocket and sit on them. Because your feelings will rule you if you let them. But you can put your feelings in your pocket and sit on them and not let them get the advantage on you. Come on. That's one of the avenues that the devil comes in to steal from us is our feelings. That hurt my feelings. I hurt. I'm upset. Don't you know the devil is robbing you blind? Because you're looking at how you feel and you're not looking at your belief system, and he's stealing from you. You don't know that you're being stolen from. And the next thing is the place that you end up. You end up of you just feel like you're dead. That's the next stage. The enemy comes to steal, kill. Have no more purpose in life. I'm just dead on the inside. Just dead on the inside. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just dead on the inside. I can't get beyond this. I'm dead. I'm dead. I don't want to live anymore. We deal with this. We deal with people who are in these places, and the enemy has taken so much stuff that people feel dead. Hello, somebody. I don't know if you all have ever been there. An area of relationships and money and all these things, you just feel dead. Is there any more use in going on? Is there any more use in living? Why even try? Why even try? The greater one, Jesus said. The power on the inside, Jesus said, the very same power that raised Christ from the dead is now living in us. He is living in us. So you may feel like you're in a dead situation, but there's resurrection life that is working in your dead situation. Woo, Lord have mercy, Jesus. Resurrection life is working in that dead situation. We might have come in here today and said that I'm beyond the stolen part. I'm at the death part now. Resurrection life. Resurrection life. It's working on your behalf today. Woo, you might be at the last point, and I'm closing it down. Philip. I'm at a place in life where I am just totally destroyed. I can't be stolen from anymore. I can't die anymore. I'm just at a place is beyond a mess. Everything is destroyed. Everything is destroyed. I come to give you hope today. Woo! The Lord says, the word says that God will give you beauty for ashes. He will take the ashes of your life and resurrect something wonderful. How's he going to do it? I can't explain to you how he's going to do it. I can't explain to you how it's going to happen. But I'm just here to give you hope today that God will give you beauty from ashes. Everything's burnt up. Everything's lost. How do I go up from here? God will give you beauty for ashes. I need you to say this again this morning. Whether you're just at the point of being stolen from, or you at the point where you've been killed, or you at the point where you just say, like, I've been destroyed. I want you to say this today, and I want you to mean it. Devil,
devil,
you can't have my stuff.
Have my stuff.
Come on, say it again. Devil,
devil,
you can't have my stuff. One more time. Devil,
devil,
you can't have my stuff. I got to close. I could preach a whole lot more this morning. I could work on you a whole lot more this morning. Stop letting the devil have your stuff. Stop putting up with it. When I was in school, I'm a pastor's kid. My dad was a pastor. And so we weren't allowed to fight. All that kind of stuff in school. We weren't supposed to fight. Let me put it like that. We weren't supposed to fight in school. We were supposed to be the examples. But I had a guy one day that tried to take my Charlie Brown lunchbox. And you know, when you were 7, 8 years old, Charlie Brown is important. I don't know if you all seen it, but they're getting ready to come out with another Charlie Brown movie. I don't think it's going to be as good as what we had. But anyhow, he tried to take my Charlie Brown lunchbox when I was walking home. You know, he's going to take it from me. And what he didn't realize is that I had a Charlie Brown thermos in there also. So when he tried to take my Charlie Brown lunchbox, I knew I had something in there he ain't know about. And that's something he didn't know about. Caught him upside the head. Not just once, but several times. You can't have my lunchbox. You can't have my Charlie Brown. And some of y'all need to tell the devil, you can't have my Charlie Brown. You can't have it. And use that Charlie Brown and go upside his head. Woo!
Come on.
Amen. Use the name of Jesus and go upside the devil's head.
Come on.
There's power in that name. There's a deliverance in that name. There's healing in that name. We've got the name. Use the name. Woo! Pull out your Charlie Brown and whip the devil's head with it. Let him know, you can't have my stuff. You can't have my... Y'all stand up for a second. I like to do this sometime. I'll turn it back over, Pastor Scott, because I'm done. But y'all need to act black for 15 seconds. I know y'all get opportunity when I come to do this. This is why I do it. But you need to go and slap at least 5 people a high five and say, the devil can't have my stuff.
Amen.
Go.
Amen.
Tell him the devil can't have my stuff. 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 It's my stuff. The devil can't have 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 my stuff. I want you to leave out of here with an attitude today.
Yeah.
Woo! I want the devil to be scared when you walk up out of here today.
Yeah.
Amen. You can't have my stuff. You can't have my stuff. Woo! You can't have my stuff. Glory to God. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.